May what I speak, may what you hear be in the name of the God of love, who creates, redeems, and sustains every single one of us. Amen. Please be seated. A verse for you from that gospel reading, Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Jesus said, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." This morning, I want to talk to you about Peter, the Apostle Peter, Saint Peter. And of course, the first thing to say is that Peter wasn't Peter's original name. Yeah? No, Peter started off life with the name his parents gave him, which was Simon. Or to be more precise, Simon, son of Jonah. And as you know, Simon, son of Jonah, was like his brother Andrew, also son of Jonah. He was a fisherman by trade, a fisherman on the Sea of Galilee. That's to say that Simon was a fisherman until that fateful day when Jesus walked by and said those immortal words, "Come, follow me. Come follow me, and instead of fishing for fish, I will make you fish for people." And so the Gospel of Mark tells us Simon and his brother Andrew immediately dropped what they were doing, put aside their fishing nets, and went and followed Jesus. Then fast forward a bit, well, fast forward a fair bit, and we come to today's Gospel reading. We come to today's gospel and one of the great high points in the life of Simon, son of Jonah. You see, by this stage in the story, Jesus was gaining quite a reputation for himself. Jesus had been preaching and teaching and healing and gathering enormous crowds eager to see what he might do next. And people were also beginning to wonder, who exactly is this guy? Is he a prophet, maybe? Is he another of those prophets sent by God to remind us of how we should be living? Is he Elijah, maybe, come back, or Jeremiah? Or is he even John the Baptist, come back to life? Come back to life to finish the work he'd been doing before King Herod had him put to death. There was lots of such speculation. So as we just heard in today's gospel reading, one day when they were at Caesarea Philippi, Jesus asked them, "Well, what do you think?" Jesus said something like, and I'm paraphrasing here, Jesus said, "You've heard what other people are saying, but I want to hear what you think. After all, you're the closest people to me. You know me more than most. So what do you say? Who do you say I am?" Now, the gospel text doesn't say this, but I imagine that that big question was followed by several seconds of uncomfortable silence. You know the kind? Yeah. I picture the disciples standing there, each one of them not wanting to be the one to say the wrong thing. Each of them shifting uneasily from foot to foot, maybe, keeping their eyes down, scuffing the ground with their sandals, maybe. Anyway, whether after an uncomfortable silence or not, Simon speaks up and gives an answer. "You're the Messiah," he says. "You're the Son of the living God," he says. And that was the moment when, according to the gospel writer, that was the moment when Simon, son of Jonah, got his new name. "Blessed are you," said Jesus. "For flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Now, I should explain there's a little word play, a lovely little pun in that sentence, which gets lost in the English translation. You see, in the original Greek, the word we translate as Peter and the word we translate as rock are one and the same word. Petros in the masculine form, Petra in the feminine form. So the original Greek goes something like this. Jesus says, "You are Petros, rock, And on this Petra rock, I will build my church. It's clever, yeah? Anyway, basically from now on, Simon is Peter. Simon is Petros. Simon is the rock. And it was quite a thing, wasn't it, when you think about it, for Jesus to call Simon Peter a rock, yeah? I mean, even today, to say to someone, you are my rock, well, that's quite a compliment, isn't it? You're my rock. In other words, you're the one I can always rely on to be there for me. Rock solid, we say. Dependable, unwavering, reliable, steadfast. You're my rock. Yeah, it was quite a thing for Jesus to call Simon Peter a rock. But, there's always a but. The thing is, Jesus may have called Peter a rock, but as we know from the rest of the New Testament, Peter was, well, rocky, very rocky, almost as often as he was rock solid. Yeah? I'm sure you remember some of Peter's rocky moments. Let me remind you of some of them. There was the time, for example, when Peter asked Jesus, how often should I forgive someone who has done me wrong? Maybe 7 times, said Peter, trying to be all magnanimous. No, said Jesus, not 7 times, but 70 times, 7 times you must forgive. And that's just for starters. Or there was that other time, remember, at the Last Supper, when Peter initially refused point blank to allow Jesus to wash his feet. The master washing the feet of the disciple? No way, said Peter. It'll never happen. Well, said Jesus, and again I'm paraphrasing here. Well, said Jesus, get over yourself, Peter. We must all wash each other's feet around here. Or perhaps most famously of all, there was that time later the same night when Peter said there was nothing he wouldn't do for Jesus. In fact, he said he would lay down his life for Jesus. Only the thing was, just a few hours later, Peter denied, angrily denied, 3 times he even knew him. Oh dear. Not so much rock solid as rock bottom. And yet, as we also know, Peter did come good in the end when it mattered. Peter did go on to give his all. He did go on to give his life for his faith. Church tradition tells us Peter was put to death, crucified upside down by the Roman Emperor Nero during a persecution of Christians in the year 64. So Peter came good in the end, yeah? Peter became Saint Peter. All of which makes me wonder, maybe it does you too, what on earth happened? What happened to change Peter from oh so rocky to rock solid? Well, there are many answers to that question. But here's one answer for you this morning. Here's my hunch. You see, one day in Caesarea Philippi, Peter did indeed give the correct answer to the question of who Jesus is. You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. But I think that it took more than one day. In fact, I think it took many, many, many days for Peter to even begin to understand what that correct answer might mean. For example, I think it took Peter many days, to realize that keeping account of how often we forgive others is a waste of time. Jesus didn't keep a scorecard, neither should we. And I think it took Peter many days, to realize that we are linked, not ranked. Linked to each other, not ranked above and below each other. And so we must all wash each other's feet. We must all be servants one to another. And I think, ultimately, that it was when Peter saw how Jesus gave his life away in love for others on Good Friday, and how that was vindicated by God on Easter Sunday, it was then that Peter found the courage to also give his life away in love. And here's the thing. Here's my point this morning. What was true for Peter can be, must be, by the grace of God, true for us as well. You see, in a few minutes, we will stand, rather like Peter did that day in Caesarea Philippi, we will stand and we will give the correct answer to the question of who Jesus is. We'll say the Nicene Creed together. We'll say that Jesus is the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, true God from true God. Yeah? We'll give the correct answer. But I suspect that rather like Peter, it will also take us many, many, many days. It will take us a lifetime to begin to understand what that correct answer really means. I suspect it will take us a lifetime to grow into our calling to love God and love each other. And I suspect, in fact, I guarantee that we too will have many rocky, rocky moments along the way. So let me say this to you and to myself loud and clear. Whether you are here this morning because your faith is rock solid, or whether you're here this morning because you're going through a rocky patch, please know you're not alone. There are others here alongside you on a similar journey. And please know this too. Please know that there is a grace, there's a power, there's a love within, beneath, and beyond all things, which is the ultimate rock, the rock which holds us when we hit rock bottom. Please know that there is, as the old hymn puts it, there is a rock of ages, an eternal rock which holds fast no matter what. Peter, through all his ups and downs, Peter came to know and to trust in that steadfast and unshakable love. I hope and pray that we will too. In Jesus' name, amen.